We've been talking on obedience, and if I talk on obedience too long, I'll be talking on obedience till Christmas. So I'll just share some things, and then I'll change tack, all right? And we share that Jesus became the author of eternal salvation to those that obey, all right? He's the eternal Savior to those that obey. Now, if you ever look at 1 Peter chapter 1, I want you to see something, and then we'll change tack and go another direction. Hallelujah. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, chapter 1, verse 1. To the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, and Wanganui. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. You are elected according to the foreknowledge of God. Amen. In sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. I'll say something that will probably rock some of you and probably say, wow, where do you get that from? From the Scriptures. The blood of Jesus Christ is sprinkled for the obedience, not for the disobedience. God said, tell the people to stay inside the house, then the blood will be sprinkled and painted on the doorpost. If you go outside the house, you're not covered by the blood. The devil works on the children of disobedience, and the blood is not sprinkled for the disobedient. You may call yourself a Christian, but if you constantly disobey God, the blood is not sprinkled. It'll benefit you nothing. Because Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to those that obey, and the blood is sprinkled for those that obey. That's why even though Christ had died for 2,000 years, there are still people busting hell going to there because they disobey. And even though the blood is sprinkled, it's not sprinkled for the disobedient. Are you all right? So obedience is an amazing thing. And the gospel is not hard. The Apostle John said, his commandments are not grievous if we learn to walk in obedience. Our greatest battle is to get ourselves to obey. If we could do that, then we will have the benefits of the blood of Jesus Christ that propitiates for us, that covers us, that justifies us, that cleanses us, that forgives us, but it is sprinkled for the obedience. Very quiet in this Presbyterian church. We overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and love not their lives unto death. Trouble is we love our lives so much. If we learn to love Him, then love others, we will know what it is to live fulfilling lives and overcoming lives. Are you okay? Hallelujah. And I thought if I stayed on obedience, I would be preaching it until you probably wouldn't want to listen to me anymore. So we'll change tacks and talk about you and me, about the authority God has given to us. Hallelujah. So if you ever look at 1 John, that's little John, and chapter 5, we will look at some things that if we will learn to obey, we are going to see the glory of God. Verse 1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Right here is some things, or are some things, that are very hard to believe. Are you all right? Because the Bible says everyone that is born of God overcomes the world. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. You're not going to overcome. You are already an overcomer. Now you either rip it out of the Bible or you are an overcomer. Are you okay? Otherwise, the Bible lied. The Bible says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Who is he that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Then we should be overcomers. But in our experience, that's about the last thing we do. As we said on Wednesday night, if we are meant to be the head and not the tail, hello, what's the problem with the church? So we need to understand and we need to find out, because there's nothing wrong upstairs. And if there's nothing wrong upstairs, there must be something wrong down here. And when God connects with us, and when God says, let his will be done on earth, it's talking about us falling into obedience with what God is doing. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and let your kingdom come. Hallelujah. So what happens when you're born? He that is born of God, whatsoever is born of God. Now, let me give you something that will probably be easier then to digest before I get into the main part of the message, which will probably take me about the next 4 months, okay? So just hang on, okay? If a vision is born of God, if God says something to a family and that family falls into it, I don't care if you live in Auckland or live in Springs Junction, it'll happen. The Word of God is not determined by the circumstances. What God declares will happen if it is born of God. Are you okay? So when God said to an old man, you're going to have a baby, and everything about the world around him, including his own biological system, says no. The Word of God will overcome. It'll overcome everything you know. It'll overcome every obstacle. It doesn't mean there won't be any obstacles, but it'll overcome every obstacle if you know that this is what God declared. If anything that is born of God overcomes. So when God said to a man, I want you to walk forward, and there's a sea there, everything that is born of God will overcome. If the word comes from God, it'll overcome. So when the man walked forward, he had to walk forward and he had to know that if it comes from God, it will overcome. So when God said to a virgin, you're going to carry a child, and the virgin said, I knew no man, what God say will overcome. Doesn't matter. And when God says to walk around a city that is entrenched, and you walk around the city, God's word will overcome. Because whatever is born of God overcomes the world, overcomes the things that you see, overcomes the obstacles. It'll overcome. Are you all right? So if a vision is born of God, whether it's a church or a business, regardless of where it is, even when the economy said you can't do it, it will overcome. So that helps us to understand a little bit of what we want to get into, because here when God said to Joshua, I want you to get the priest, get the ark, and I want them to walk into the flood. And Joshua probably thought, yeah, they'll probably get flown down the river with the flood. But as they walk into the flood subsided. And from there to Adam, from where you are way back to Adam, and down wherever the river is flowing, the whole thing dries up. Because whatever God declares, whatever is born of God, will overcome. Now, you understand when in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? Let me say this to you, it'll help you. If you don't have a great understanding of Genesis, there's a whole lot of the Bible you will miss. So if whatever you do, if you go back to Genesis and read it and study it, the Spirit of God was moving on the waters, the darkness covered the face of the deep, everything was chaotic. And then God said, now, many of us will look at the things that are there and say, oh, it's dark. And it's getting darker. God did not say that. God said light. And our problem many times is we declare what's there. You should declare what you want to be there according to the word of God. God said light, and everything that was there that was dark disappeared, and light began to travel at 186,000 miles per second, and is still traveling at that speed today. So whatever is born of God will overcome. Hallelujah. If we learn to obey. Now let me read it again. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. We overcome by faith because we move into what God says by faith and obey. Hallelujah. Now we said before, there are clusters of trinities in truth. Righteousness, peace, and that's a trinity. And there are clusters like that in the Bible. By wisdom a house is built, by understanding it's established, by knowledge. Wisdom, understanding, it's a trinity. Faith, hope, and love, it's a trinity. And there are trinities like that all over the scriptures. And when God declares the Spirit was there and the Word made flesh, the Word, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, when they declared, the Word came. The presence of God needs a Word. You can sit in the presence of God and not get healed until there's a Word. And sometimes you need a Word with the Spirit, and the Spirit will operate with the Word, and light began to live. Hallelujah. So there are clusters like that in scriptures, clusters of trinities in the truth of God's Word. And faith, obedience, and wisdom is another cluster. If you hear and obey, you are a wise man who builds his house on the rock. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. And how does hearing come? By the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And when you move into obey, you're a wise man that builds on the rock. But when you move into what God declares, you overcome. Are you all right? Yeah. Say amen. Yeah. I was sharing on Wednesday night with the leadership of the church. And I said, John ministered well. And I liked what he did. Because many of us want to see physical manifestations. And there is nothing wrong with that. A physical manifestation, people falling down under the power, people running, fantastic. But what if they don't? Because ultimately, it's when you and I, on our own, receive from God. And we need to learn to walk with God that there is going to come a time when you don't ring for prayer, you receive from God. Nothing wrong with getting prayer. Nothing wrong with all the things that we do in ministry, but ultimately, you and I need to be at a place where it's you and God. How many know that when you're praying and God said, I want you to do this, and you keep on praying, and God said, this is going to happen. And you keep on praying. Why? Because you don't believe that you heard from him. But if a prophet turns up to you, thus says the Lord, said, hey, hello? You almost like you want somebody to physically tell you. And yet when God whispers into you, the Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit. So when God speaks to you personally, sometimes we just carry on doing what we're doing. But when somebody, goes, I believe God is saying this, boom, 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 boom. I said, ooh, that was, God spoke to me. Now, God spoke to you also in the closet. And I enjoyed what John did because he didn't come down, lay hands on people, and he just wanted you to receive from God. Now, that's fantastic. Because ultimately that's, but we also want to make a lot of noise. Nothing wrong with that. Hallelujah. Are you okay? I'm trying to discipline myself. Otherwise, I'll say a whole lot of things that you probably would not be able to take in. Hallelujah. And it's nothing wrong with the manifestation to see that. I prayed for a little boy in Bulls one time, and he having pains, got his hip. The boy's legs are not so the same, and I prayed for him, and nothing happened. I thought. And when we were having fish and chips with the pastor of the church, and the lady rang, and it's a grandmother, and you could hear her on the phone, and she was screaming. She said, "He's healed! He's healed!" I thought, why didn't you do that in church so that I could look good? But sometimes it doesn't happen that way. Now, there's something wrong sometimes because many of us are looking for a physical manifestation. And please, don't ever think that I'm against. I love that. I love that when you pray for somebody and they get healed. Great. You cast out a demon, a guy gets blessed and he runs around. Fantastic. Nothing wrong with that. My difficulty sometimes is most Pentecostal charismatic Christians are always looking for a manifestation. If you constantly look for a manifestation, you might get a manifestation, but it's not from... Are you okay? Now, when that little girl prophesied, these men are the servants of the Most High God who come to tell you the way of salvation. Let me ask you a question. Was that wrong? Was the prophecy correct? The funny thing, she was about the only person in the whole district that knew that these were the men from the Most High God who give you salvation, tell you the way of salvation. Now, let me ask, if the prophecy is totally correct, let me ask you another question. Which spirit prophesied? So sometimes when you're looking for, hello, if that's all you're looking for outside anything else, but the prophecy was correct, but it didn't come from the Spirit of God. Good preaching, Pastor. It's only half past nine. We might have an early cup of tea. Can somebody put on the billy, please? Hallelujah. But sometimes we need to shout. We need to tell people that this is who we are. I belong to the living God. I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Because sometimes things can happen in the quiet, but there are things in God that will never happen without a shout. So it's learning to discern. Now, if the quietness is born of the Spirit, it'll overcome. And if the shout is born of the Spirit, it'll overcome. The difficulty sometimes is learning when is he saying shout and when he's saying be quiet. And sometimes we clap when we shouldn't be clapping. Hallelujah. Now, you go to concerts and things like that, don't you? When do you clap? You clap when somebody's introduced, and then you clap after they do their thing, if you like it or you don't. All right? So when somebody's introduced, you stand up and you clap, and after they sing or after they perform, you clap. And sometimes you get so excited that you get up and you clap. That's funny, but it's nice. You know what we do sometimes to the Lord? We ask Him to come and He wants to say something. Hey, praise God! You clap the wrong time. It doesn't make the clap wrong. It doesn't make the shout wrong. You just shouted at the wrong time and it makes it wrong then. Hallelujah. So let's have a look at this thing. And then we can have a cup of tea. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Now, when we talk about the armor of God, we said obedience make the armor work and make it hold it. And it'll be a real, you know, hallelujah. Why do policemen wear uniform? It's authority. Why do you wear your armor? It's authority. Now, police can hold a 400-ton truck by the holding up of their hand. Now, he can't stop it physically, but he wears a uniform that represents all the power and authority that that uniform represents. And when he holds it up, it stops. When you wear the armor of God, if you have God's hat on, if you have God's shirt on, God's hat on, God's belt on, God's shoes on, God's sword on, God's shield on, what do you think the person that's coming at you is thinking? Are you all right? He might think that you're God. There's authority there because of what you wear. Now, that armor, as we said, holds together, functions by obedience. But works, the only reason it works is faith. The helmet of salvation. Salvation. We are saved by grace through faith. The preparation of the gospel of peace. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is the power of God to him that believes. Faith. Righteousness. Our righteousness is of faith. Are you all right? Everything about that, you move into it by faith. And when you learn to obey, it's outstanding. Are you okay? Say amen. So, when you're born again, Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, how can I do what you do? Because I study the Torah and I know that you do, but I can't do the things that you do unless God is with you. And Jesus said, unless a man is born again, you will never see the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is around us. It's everywhere. In fact, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is in you. And when he said that, he wasn't talking about somebody that was saved. He was talking about the Pharisees. He said, the kingdom of God is in you. So there's something about us that will declare the kingdom of God, but we don't know it and never enter it until we are born again. So Jesus said something very, very peculiar and yet very powerful. If we really understand it, he said, the greatest prophet that was ever born of a woman is John the Baptist. Nobody else in all the Old Testament, the greatest. But he said this, the least in the kingdom. The least in the kingdom. The least in the kingdom. The least in the kingdom, the least in the kingdom, the least, the very least, the very least. How do you get the kingdom? If you're born again, you'll see the kingdom. If you're not, the least in the kingdom of God is greater than the greatest prophet that ever lived. That means if you are born again, you are greater than John the Baptist. If you're born again, let me take it further. You're greater than Jeremiah. You're greater than Isaiah. You're greater than all the prophets of the Old Testament if you're born again. Now, either that's wrong or throw the Bible away, burn it. That means everyone that is in this building today that is born again is greater than John the Baptist. Now, who believes that? The least in the kingdom, the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist, but John is greater than, hello? Now, can you see then what John the Beloved was saying? That when you're born again, even though you're a baby, see, we think we'll have authority when we grow up. If you don't know your authority as a little kid, don't know authority. So let me ask you a question. Is Prince William's son a prince? When is he going to be a prince? He's a prince now. He was born one. Are you okay? Now, how much inheritance does that little baby got? Are you all right? How much inheritance do you have? How come we don't live like that? How come we are not the head and not the tail? We are underneath and not above. How come we are beggars? Are you okay? He that is born of God overcomes. He didn't say he that is born of God one day is going to overcome. Now let me demonstrate it to you, and this is what you already know this. I'm just using it as an example. Hallelujah. We said that when God creates something, he that is born of God, when God creates something, He creates the environment first. You remember that? So he'll create the sea first before he creates the fish. But when he creates the fish, he doesn't speak to the mountain. He actually speaks to where the fish is going to live. Right? So he said to the sea, let the fish come forth. He speaks to the sea. So when he creates the soil, he creates the soil first, and then he creates the tree. So what does he do to create the tree? He speaks to the soil. All right? And he speaks to the earth to bring forth the animals. He speaks to the sea to bring forth the fish. Okay? When he created man, who did he speak to? I'm asking a question. It's in the Bible. When he created him, who did he speak to? He spoke to himself. So out of himself, he created man, and then out of himself, he breathed. He said, come, let us make man. So instead of speaking to the soil to bring man forth, he spoke to himself. Are you okay? You got this? This is simple. All right. He speak to the dirt to bring the tree. He speak to the sea to bring the fish. But he spoke to himself to bring us. All right. So this environment here is the environment of the presence of God. And we said this. God created us to live there. We will excel there. Now, you can live outside this environment, but if you do, Jesus said, even though you live, you're dead. There's a lot of dead people prospering better than, all right? So, here you are, you live here. Now, Jesus said, if you know him, that means if you live here, in a sense. If you die, even though you're dead, you live. So I'd rather be dead in this than live here. All right? Because all the fools live here. The fool said in his heart, there's no God. And the man that built high-rise buildings and put all his treasures in there and said, soul, rest up, everything's hunky-dory for the future, and God called him a fool. We may call him wise, but God, we may make him the minister of finances, but God calls him a fool. So all the fools live out here, out of the presence of God. All the wise ones live here. Hallelujah. All the dead do their thing here. All the living do their thing in the presence of God. Now, if you are here today and you are there tomorrow, or if I'm here now and 2 minutes later I'm here, everything about that environment is overcome. But are you okay? I may be a baby in here crying, change me, but I move from darkness into light. And the Bible says the moment you're born again, you're translated from this kingdom into this kingdom, and there is nothing that kingdom can do to stop it. You don't have to go to Bible college. You just need to be born again. He that is born of God overcomes. And everything about this darkness now disappears. And even though you were in this kingdom, the moment you're born again, you're translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And from darkness to light, everything about that place is overcome. Even though you're a baby. Now, if a baby can do that, imagine what a 15-year-old can do. Are you okay? Is that all right? See, that's what Jesus said. He said, John is the greatest, but John was not born again. I'm not going to talk about that, okay? Are you all right? None of the people in the Old Testament was born again. None of them was forgiven. The punishment of their sin was postponed year by year by year by year by year until Christ died on the cross. The greatest thing about Jesus' death, it didn't just cover those that were there. It covered the future, the present, and the past. And when Jesus died on the cross, their sins were wiped away. They came into the kingdom by faith. Hallelujah. And they were locked in Abraham's bosom until Jesus died. And when Jesus rose again from the grave on the third day, he lifted up Abraham's bosom. And took Abraham's bosom to paradise. Used to be down there. Paradise is no longer down there. Paul said, I went to the paradise of God 14 years ago in the third heaven. When you die today, you don't go down there. You go up there. And you stay up there. Are you okay? And if I die, don't you pray me back. I'll punch your face. Are you all right? He that is born of God. Now let's look at it naturally. Yesterday, the baby was in the womb in darkness. And then the baby comes out. Everything about that darkness of the womb is overcome. He that is born of God overcomes. You have greater power than you think. You have greater grace than you know. You have a greater inheritance than you have believed. No wonder God said to Hosea, my people are destroyed, not because the devil is powerful. My people are destroyed because they lack knowledge of who they are, what they have. Then he said something very, very crucial. He said, you resist knowledge. I resist you from being a priest to me, and your children will have no inheritance. So know who you are. Know what you're about. Let me say this, then I'll close so you can have a cup of tea. We are dead with Christ. We are raised with Christ. We are seated with Christ. We are one spirit with Christ. Hello? If God is talking to you, I want you to stand. And maybe you haven't understood, and we will keep on talking about this. We'll travel this way. I did say to you a few weeks back, I know where I want to take the church, and this is the next step of us moving into. And even though it may sound like we're doing it back to front, but if God is talking to you, maybe you've never understood some of the things and you want to know more, you can stand to your feet and I'll pray for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we bless you today. Thank you for your word that enlightens our hearts. Your word that gives substance, Lord God, to our spirits. Your word, Lord God, that lives and abides. We thank you, Jesus, for who you are and what you are. We pray, dear God, for your people, for the church, that, Lord, that we will arise, Lord God, to who and what you've created us to be, that we might live to be overcomers and bring you glory. We might learn to walk by faith and not by sight, to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Bless your people, touch our lives and our hearts. You're a good God. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a nice cup of tea.